بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today is the 28th day, and it will be the 29th night of this month of Ramadan. So please don't forget to maximize as much as you can from tonight, insha'Allah ta'ala. We know very well, obviously, that Eid will be, insha'Allah ta'ala, on Friday. Of course, it will be here in this masjid, based on the decisions that are made here, alhamdulillah, and going with, you know, calculation, which alhamdulillah is okay, and it also grants unity to the masjid, to the community, and to the rest of the city, which we hope to see happening in the rest of the country, insha'Allah ta'ala, that everyone across Canada can have Eid on the same day, insha'Allah. So today we're going to continue with a little bit of what we left off with yesterday. So Surah Al-Ma'un, and then Surah Al-Nasr, and then we'll go into the verses of the Qur'an pertaining to Ruqya, and we'll spend more time on Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas, insha'Allah, because those are a huge part of this. In Surah Al-Ma'un, obviously we know the surah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ara'aita alladhi yukadhibu bid-din. Fadhalika alladhi yad'u al-yatim. Wa la yahuddu 'ala ta'amil miskin. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first verse talks about those who deny their deen. رَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينَ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word lie, those that lie about their deen, or conceal their deen, hide their deen, are ashamed of their deen, their religion, those that deny their deen sometimes when they're asked, are you a Muslim, right? They'll be like, no. They'll deny it, hide it, conceal it. And we spoke about this surah when we went through the tafsir on the last day, on the 27th or the 26th day, right before we finished the tafsir of the entire Quran. And we mentioned how this is attributed also to the hypocrites, those that conceal their true iman inside of them, that they don't have true iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their iman is tainted with their thoughts and ideas and faults. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here also discusses those that deny their deen, those that are shy or maybe even ashamed of showing their deen. So, رَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. Those that refuse and discourage others from helping the yatim, that stop people from, you know, helping the orphans, and then those that are in need, and giving food and help and shelter and assistance to people who are poor, maybe even traveling, those that don't have any wealth. And remember, we touched upon that slightly during our tafsir and mentioned there's those that don't have wealth and will go and ask for it, meaning they don't have anything. They will actually come and say, you know what, I don't have any wealth, can you help me? And then there's those that don't have wealth, but they won't ask for it, or they're not asking for it. They're poor, they're making do, they're finding, you know, a way of getting through life, but not going and asking the Muslimin for any sort of assistance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about those that deny their deen, hide and conceal their belief, those that refuse to help the orphan children, those that are not going to help the poor. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Now we mentioned you shouldn't stop here, right? You should continue and put that entire phrase, or make it all into one phrase. So فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Why? Because if you say فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, it's just like you're saying, you know, whoa, or may the punishment and difficulty of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to the human beings, may that be upon those that perform their salah. And obviously we don't want to say this, right? Those that perform their salah, they're fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're upholding the first thing that will be questioned about when we face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of a reckoning. The very first thing that He will question us about is As-salah. As-salah, right? And we pray so much salah or namaz during our month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah. But after Ramadan, we notice that that number starts to decrease. Obviously, Taraweeh is not there. But we hope and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those that did not miss a single compulsory prayer during this month of Ramadan. And we continue to maintain that. We notice that, subhanAllah, people that are very, you know, laid back when it comes to salah, during the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, they're in the masjid at least for Salatul Fajr as well. Right? You notice that Salatul Fajr, there's a lot more people that come into the masjid. And that's a time where, in my opinion, it's actually the hardest time to make it to the masjid during the month of Ramadan, because we've eaten so much food for suhoor that we can't even breathe anymore, and it's so difficult to go sometimes, especially when you know the imam's going to recite long surahs, and it's a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to recite, you know, a little bit more in Salatul Fajr. So to lengthen the raka'ah during Salatul Fajr, and subhanAllah, during Ramadan it becomes a little more difficult simply because you've eaten a lot of food and you're there and you're like, man, I need to go to the bathroom, I drank like 5 liters of water, right? So it becomes a little bit difficult. So subhanAllah, if we can do it during the month of Ramadan, then we definitely should be able to do it outside of Ramadan as well. Right? It's just a matter of getting ourselves to wake up. And we notice in Ramadan, we might sleep for 2 hours and we wake up. And we have the energy to eat and to go to the masjid for Fajr. And of course, as I said yesterday, there's more barakah in the month of Ramadan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easier for us. But think of it, outside of Ramadan, don't just confuse your mind and trick our own minds and say, well, you know, I was capable of doing that during Ramadan because it was that blessed month. Now I can't do it, right? Now the shaitan is let loose. The doors of Jannah are closed, right? So it becomes difficult for me. No, put it this way. Outside of the month of Ramadan, you might have gotten 5 or 6 hours of sleep at least before Fajr, right? So it should be easy for us to get up. Right? Or maybe 4 hours, 5 hours, depending on the time of the year. So instead of getting 1.5 to 2 hours of sleep, sometimes even 1 hour of sleep, and then we get up and we could still make it to the masjid for Fajr, then we should be able to do it when we get, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 or maybe even 6 hours of sleep during the rest of the year. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Those that in their salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with them, that are forgetful of their prayers, that delay their prayers, that are extremely lazy, that will maybe even not even pray their prayer and then realize at the end of the day, oh, I didn't pray. So they'll pray, you know, 2 or 3 different prayers together. And that's not from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an to establish our prayers, meaning make sure that they are prayed on time. And the scholars say that is at the beginning of the time that the salah enters, right? We should pray our prayers at that time, inshaAllah ta'ala. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ. So tying in with the salah, those that when they do their actions, whether it's actions of prayer or actions of helping the yatim, the poor, the orphans that they might not feel like helping, or it's the action of helping the poor people that they don't want to help in the first place, right? Or any action that is liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do it, yara'un, right? That the people would see them. And this is riya. This is riya, as we mentioned, you know, during our halaqa prior to Ramadan, those people that do things for the sake of others noticing them. That is a type of shirk. And I've said this once in the khutbah here and people started to complain. I remember there was one uncle who came to me and he said, don't ever say this on the mimbar again. I said, Jazakallahu khairan, I will say it again. Right? I said, I will say it again because it's our deen and it's the truth, right? It is a type of shirk. Why? Because when someone does something, an action, for the sake of others seeing them doing it, they're doing that action for the sake of pleasing someone or something other than Allah. Therefore, that is shirk. And when the brother came and told me, don't ever say this again, I said, can I explain it to you? He said, no. I said, Jazakallahu khairan. If we don't want to learn our deen, and we're not open to learning and understanding what this is and why this is the case, then we will never understand it, and we will always want to shut the door and close it and say, no. This is new. We never heard this before, so we don't want to accept it. No. Let's try and understand it. When we pray our salah, and you're making your ruku' and your sujood, and you normally make your ruku' and sujood so quickly that you know that is a type of sujood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with. It's a type of sujood that there's karaha in it. When you go down and up and down and up so quickly, as though, you know, you're like a bird that's just pecking seeds off the ground with your beak. Right? That type of sujood is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you normally make that sujood, but then you notice, you hear, the door opens, and someone comes into the room, and now all of a sudden, that sujood that you were going to make so quickly, stalled. Because someone walked in, and you're like, oh, I need to change my prayer now. Someone's going to see me the way I'm praying. Be careful. Be careful. In that moment, when you realize that, realize something else. Realize that if that was the case in me, that I need to change my prayer because someone walked through the door, then realize that you also need to change your intention. As in, tweak your intention and tell yourself, wait, I know that if I change my prayer, and I know that if I'm doing this because someone is watching me, then this becomes riya. So let me try to pray my prayer like this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that was a reminder. Someone walking through the door is a reminder to me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching me anyways. Regardless of whether someone is there or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching me in my salah, always watching me when I fast, always watching me when I speak to others, always watching me when I type on the internet or swipe on my phone and send a text message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it, right? And so we should always do every single thing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, here in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that when we pray our prayers or we give our sadaqah or we do anything, that we should do it solely for the sake of Allah's recognition and not the recognition of others. So that others can see us doing it and think, oh, mashallah, this is a believer, this is a mu'min, right? As the hypocrites would do. They would perfect their actions in front of others because they would try hard to conceal their hypocrisy inside of them. And so they would hide their true belief inside by showing on the outside that they are really righteous people. That they are the most righteous individuals on the face of the earth. Right? And they would come and they would declare to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the time. They would take his hand and kiss him. Right? Trying to show that they believe. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about them and those specific actions in the Quran as we discussed during our tafsir. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that these people forbid goodness upon themselves. They restrict others from doing goodness, as we mentioned. And it's an important surah for us to try and learn and understand, because in it are many lessons. Surah An-Nasr. Very quickly we'll go through this surah insha'Allah ta'ala, which is, you know, the 110th surah of the Quran, and it's only 3 verses long. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Idha jaa nasrullahi wal fath wa ra'aytan nasa yadkhuluna fi dinillahi afwaja. Fasabbih bihamdi rabbika wastaghfirhu innahu kana tawwaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Idha jaa nasrullahi wal fath. When the time comes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps the Muslimin, right? Helps the Muslimun and grants the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam victory. And we know that this ties in with Fathu Makkah, the victory, the conquering of Makkah, right? The conquest of Makkah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He allowed the Muslims to conquer Makkah, what happened? Was there an actual battle? Was there any sort of, you know, fighting that took place on a major scale? No, there wasn't any. The Prophet ﷺ walked in. And he walked in not with his head up high, right? Showing off, yeah, I'm boasting. Haha, you guys kicked us out of this city, we came back. He walked in with his head down low. With humility. Humble, right? Showing the people of Makkah that this was our land, and I came to you with a message, and we went through so much difficulty over these past few years. How many years? How many years? No. Right? How many years until Mecca was conquered? 15? No. From the time of the Hijrah until?
18?
Homework?
20.
Homework. Find out what year. This will make it easy for you. Find out what year, and I told it to you already. I told it to you at the very beginning of our tafsir. You just have to check your notes. Find out what year Mecca was conquered. Fathu Mecca, the conquering of Mecca. It's homework. It's homework. Let them do it. Let them do it. They will never forget it. If you give them the answer, they will forget it. Because I gave them the answer a few weeks ago, right? And they forgot it. So, homework. Look for it, inshallah. When you look for things, you won't forget them. Our teachers used to do this to us all the time. When they'd be teaching us, instead of giving us the answer, they would say, this is such an easy thing for you to find. You can simply Google it and you will find it. That's how easy it is. That even, you know, Shaykhuna Google, rahimahullah, you know, he has all the answers as well. Right? Subhanallah, it's so easy to find these answers. So it's just a year, a simple year after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered Mecca. And they went through battles. They fought their own relatives, right? People had shed blood. They lost lives. And this didn't need to happen. And the people of Mecca are now submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking in, showing them that I'm not someone that's coming to boast in front of you. This was the message that I had given you before, and it's the same message that I continue to give you. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that when the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, it comes with ease, and victory becomes apparent to the Muslimin, to the Ummah. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. And you see, when the victory comes, that groups of people, large amounts of people, will enter into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very easily, without any sort of, you know, trying to convince them. They will just enter. And subhanAllah, look at things that have happened, like September 11. What happened after September 11? Masses of people entered Islam. Masses of people entered Islam. In the United States, I remember seeing on TV Chapters and, you know, Indigo. I don't remember if Indigo was even part of, you know, it was even a company at that time, but I remember Chapters, a few other bookstores that I don't remember the names at at that time. Subhanallah, they were stating on the news, right, that they had completely sold out the translations of the Quran, that there were none left. It's completely sold out because people had become so interested in the United States. What is Islam? Right? What is Islam? And so people were buying the Quran. And we noticed that vandalism was happening to not only, you know, masajid, it was happening to, you know, gurdwaras and different places, you know, Sikh temples and stuff like that, where people would go and worship other religions. But people who didn't know about Islam thought, oh, you know what, there's a dome or there's a minaret or something. It's not a church, there's no cross, so it must be, you know, a masjid. So there was vandalism that was happening. And communities, Muslims as well as non-Muslims, ethnic, you know, you notice different ethnic backgrounds, ethnicities were getting together and helping one another to try and tell the world that Muslims are not that type of terrorist that you branded them to be, right, in the incident of September 11. Look at other things that have happened, like recently, subhanAllah, how many of you know what Snapchat is? You know what it is? One person? Just one? Anyone else? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Snapchat is an application on your phone. You know what it is? Okay. Snapchat, it's an application that you get on your phone or your tablet, right? That you can take a video of yourself for, I think, 5 seconds or 7 seconds, something like that, or a picture, and you can send it to your friends or family, whoever you have contacts with, and they can see that. Once they see it, it's gone. Once they see it, it deletes, right? So it's kind of, you know, the safer way, they say, but I think it's still not safe, right? To send videos and pictures to your family members or to your loved ones that only they can see it. Once they see it, it's gone. It's deleted, right? Now, yesterday or the day before, Snapchat, they put together every day, you know, like a showcase, a reel of, for 24 hours, short 5 second or 10 second video clips and pictures of people from different parts of the world. And they've been doing this theme of different countries. So recently, a few days ago, they had Israel, right? They had Israel. And my wife was telling me about it. So she said, you know, they had Israel and they were showing Israel and how, you know, people there are enjoying themselves and they're on the beach. And, you know, we're seeing the news and seeing what's happening in Palestine. And then we're looking at Israel and subhanAllah, like they're just enjoying themselves. And then people all over the world started to complain. dear Snapchat, what's the problem? You're showing everyone about how the Jewish are living and enjoying their lives. Can we show the other side of the fence? And so they showed, you know, the West Bank. The next day was West Bank. So they started to show the West Bank pictures. People who were there could take pictures and videos and show it. And it's available for the whole world to see for 24 hours, right? And then what they did yesterday, I believe it was yesterday or just, you know, the day before, because I'm losing track with us staying awake at night, right? Of losing track of the days. They had Makkah. 27th night was Makkah, right? And so subhanAllah, they were showing videos of Makkah, people making tawaf, and then the Kaaba, and they were showing, you know, how everyone was there in iftar, and everyone's just waiting, and there's food in front of them, no one's touching it, right? And then iftar time, people are eating, and then it's cleaned up completely within the span of the adhan to the iqama, everything is completely cleaned up, and everyone is standing in their rows and praying, right? It's the most strategic, amazing, you know, cleaning setting I've ever seen in my life, being in Makkah and Medina. Right, and so they were showing this on Snapchat. And afterwards, there was an imam that sent me a tweet, an imam from Western Canada in Kamloops. He sent me this a tweet that he had taken clips of people who tweeted, and you know, he sent it out. People who saw that Snapchat for 24 hours, they saw those pictures and videos of Mecca. People saying, "I always knew, you know, good things about Islam. I'm not a Muslim, but this has really helped me to understand, you know, what Muslims do." People were saying, "I'm not a Muslim, but I love the unity, and this is amazing to see how so many people of different colors and, you know, different backgrounds can come to one place, and they're all exactly the same. Everyone's wearing the same type of clothing. They're all sitting down eating at the same time. They're praying in the same direction." People saying, "I'm not a Muslim, but I now am. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah." Right? People taking the shahada simply from seeing pictures of the Kaaba, of Makkah, and of the actions of the Muslimin. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Idha ja'a nasrullahi wal fath, wa ra'ayta an-nasa yadkhuluna fi dinillahi afwaja, fasabbih bihamdi rabbika wastaghfir. Innahu kana tawwaba." When you see people entering the deen with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ease, you didn't even invite them. Some application on another part of the world is subhanAllah sending pictures of what we do in our ibadah. You notice loads of people being pleased with Islam. And a few people even entering Islam. Whether that's true or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But we notice that they're declaring that online. And so people are showing this comfort with the deen and showing that they are, you know, entering into Islam and becoming curious. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you notice that people come and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has helped people to come towards the deen, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكِ. Do tasbih, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then wastaghfir, ask Him for forgiveness. Praise Allah and ask Him for forgiveness constantly, constantly, constantly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tawwaba. He accepts our tawbah. He loves to accept our tawbah. He tells us in the Quran, ud'uni. He gives us the command, ask me, astajib lakum. Simply ask me, I will answer you. Right? And He makes it so short and sweet. Ud'uni, astajib lakum. Ask me, I will forgive you. But it becomes so hard for us to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to make us from amongst those who constantly turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeking forgiveness. Let's move on into ruqya insha'Allah ta'ala. Before we get into the verses, just a few signs that you might notice on yourself or someone who would be affected by having a jinn or black magic or anything of that sort affecting them. Now, you might notice sometimes you see someone who acts strange, might, you know, get up, have a jolt of energy, and they run towards a door, you know, trying to escape the room. And subhanAllah, you might have even noticed that, you know, this may have happened once during the month of Ramadan, and some of you got a little concerned, right? And I said to find someone who might be able to help this person. Right, you notice that subhanAllah, they will try and run towards a door to escape hearing the verses of the Quran, escape hearing the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But then that jolt of energy only lasts seconds. So the way that it happens for someone who might be possessed by a jinn is that jolt of energy will come extremely strong, but only for a few seconds. So I remember once we were doing ruqya on a brother in Medina. And he had four jinn inside of him. And there were four people holding him down as well. Four people holding him down, and one of our teachers, our professor, he was doing ruqya, performing ruqya, reciting the Qur'an on him. And he literally pushed, like the student who had the jinn problem, he was being held down by four students, and he literally pushed all four of them off in one go and ran to the door. But by the time he reached the door, he didn't have enough energy to open it. So the jinn uses up all your energy, like you have no stamina, but all the energy comes in one jolt, and then boom, it's done. You're drained. You're so drained that you need to sleep sometimes, right? That's how drained it is. It uses all of your energy at one time. Okay, so some of the signs of a person who would be affected by a jinn would be, and this, of course, is, you know, don't think that you might have these symptoms and it's a jinn. You might have or need medical attention, right? You might need medical attention. Your eyes are red. You might need sleep, right? You might need sleep. You notice that your baby is born and the eyes start to turn yellow. It's not a jinn, right? It's, what do they call that? Jaundice, right? Get them some sunlight, okay? As in, not the soap, the actual sunlight that comes from the sky. Okay, so you might notice that some of these things you have, or someone that you know might have them, they might need to see a doctor. If medical attention doesn't help, then they might need to see a doctor who will help them with the spiritual aspect of life, right? So if someone has red eyes, constantly has red eyes, well, maybe you're sitting in front of a computer all day and you're an IT specialist, right? So you need to go and seek some medical attention. A doctor who's going to tell you, take a break from seeing the screen. You get my point, inshallah. So some of the signs of being affected by evil eye or a jinn or anything of that sort, black magic. Temporary headaches and yellowness in the color of the face, right? So you might get temporary headaches that come and they go, and then they come and they go. So it's not like a headache that you take Tylenol, it's gone. It's a headache that comes and then it goes. And then it comes back a few hours later maybe, or a few minutes later, then it goes. And then it comes back and then it goes, right? And then yellowness. You'll notice that the color of the person will change. It'll fade as though they're pale, right? Yellow. But not only pale, but yellow. And you notice the skin might even become a little like pasty, right? Like sticky. And that's because there's constant sweat, which is another sign. This person profusively is sweating, or constantly sweating. Even when there's air conditioning, they're sweating. And you might notice when you talk to them, their eyes would roll back, right? Their eyes would roll or twitch, right? Twitch, go up and down and come back down, right? Those are signs as well. Abundance of sweat and urination, right? So not like you're drinking a lot of water and going to the bathroom. No, it's because you're drinking a lot of water, right? But abundant amount of sweat and urination, because the body has something in it that is making the body uncomfortable. Just like when you eat something that gives you food poisoning, your stomach is uncomfortable, so you throw up. So the body is uncomfortable, so you're constantly sweating. There's a lot of energy inside of your body. You're trying to control this inside of you, so you're sweating a lot, even though you're not running, right? You're not doing anything physical. You're sitting like this. But your body is doing work inside of you. Just like when you have a cold, the body's trying to fight it off. Exactly the same thing. Abundant amount of urination. So you're noticing that you're just going to the bathroom. It's not because you have diabetes, okay? You might have diabetes and that's why you're constantly going to the bathroom. For people like that, don't think that, oh, you know what? The doctor said I have diabetes. No, it's a jinn. No, maybe you actually do have diabetes. Okay, so don't, and I know I'm saying this because it's a big problem, especially with the older generation and with some of the cultural backgrounds. SubhanAllah, I teach around the world and I notice it's a trend. The same types of people, especially from Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, we always think, oh, nazar, right? Someone has done something, someone has tied the knot, someone has, you know, relax, go see a doctor first. And every time someone comes to me, subhanAllah, and they say, I have this, I have that, I say, did you go see a doctor? They say, no, why not? I ask them, why not? Oh, because, you know, someone in our family is known for doing black magic. You know what the scholars say? Even if someone is known in your family for doing magic, it's more likely that you have a medical issue than a problem that you need to seek, you know, ruqya and attention in that case. It's more likely that you need to go and seek medical attention. Right? I remember our Sheikh was telling us, whenever someone comes and says, oh, I have black magic upon me, he tells them right away, no you don't, because if you did, you wouldn't know. Right? He says, if you did, you wouldn't know. And so, subhanAllah, you know, a lot of the time we only confuse our own selves. So abundance of sweat and urination, weakness and appetite, right? Weakness and appetite. Now don't think, oh, my child's not eating, right? They're not eating, so they must have black magic or something done to them. No, your child wants a chocolate bar, right? Your child, if you give them candy and chocolate, they'll eat it. Or you give them the things that they like. Some children don't like candy and chocolate, right? Some children like other things. Give them the things they like, they'll eat it. Give them a bag of chips, they'll eat it, right? That doesn't mean anything. That just means your child is a child, okay? So don't think your child is now affected because they have a loss of appetite. Itchiness and sensation of crawling in the skin. This is even more so if you have, a jinn, right? Itchiness and a sensation of crawling in the skin. So you're feeling itchy all the time, right? But again, maybe you have dry skin and you just need to go to the pharmacy, Shoppers Drug Mart, and put lotion on your skin because you take hot showers and your skin is too dry. So put lotion on your skin. Try and see first, right? Then go see the doctor. They will check and see if you really do have a skin problem. If not, then maybe there's something to look into. What else did I mention? Itchiness and an irritation, right, in the skin. So you feel like something's creeping under your skin. Because the jinn, when it actually does move in a bunch, like as in it gathers itself and moves under the skin, you will actually see like a lump, like a golf ball moving under your skin. You will actually see that, right? Especially if your ruqya is being done upon you, like someone, or you're doing it to yourself, and it's usually trying to bring it towards the stomach and bring it out of one of the ports of the body, you'll notice something creeping under there. You'll notice something creeping under there. And that's how you can guide it and press down on the body and push it towards the exit of the body, whether it's the belly button or the mouth, and have it come there, and that's its escape. It can come out from there, right? You won't always see this, though. It's usually only if it's a very powerful burst, someone who's really under a very severe, difficult moment with a jinn who's very stubborn. Jinn, as we took in Surah Al-Jinn, right? قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا. What did they say? فَقَالُوا. Come on. إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. That the jinn, when they hear it, some of them, they will admit that we've heard something that amazes us. Right? It's the Qur'an. And so that's why we're going to go through some of the verses, inshaAllah ta'ala. And you'll notice someone who's affected with a jinn, when they're reciting the Qur'an, right? I notice now people, when they see an itch or they itch themselves, they're thinking right away. Like, I itch myself, and I know people are probably thinking, oh, he's scratching himself, right? So subhanAllah, you'll notice if a person has this in them, and it's really strong, like the jinn will have moments where it will try to show itself, try to express itself, and maybe even speak using the voice of the person, but maybe even using a different language, or it might be an extremely high tone, extremely low tone, right? They might even speak in a different language, right? Because it's a jinn from a different part of the world. That's a reality of it. There's jinn from different parts of the world as well, from Russia, from Turkey, from different parts of the world. So you might notice that it's not even speaking a language that you can communicate in. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for all those that might be affected. Ameen. You might notice feeling hot or cold in the extremities. So your hands feeling extremely, extremely hot, or feeling extremely, extremely cold, right? But your body's fine. So I remember, subhanAllah, there was a brother who in Medina, he would be sweating even inside an air-conditioned building. He would be sweating and sweating and sweating, but you touch his hands and it's like cold ice, right? Like cold ice. So subhanAllah, those are signs as well. Fluttering of heartbeat and palpitations. So your heart, you notice that your heartbeat might race sometimes and then stop and you're not doing anything, right? Go see a doctor first. You might be having a heart attack, right? You might have taken something. I know for the youth sometimes, if they experiment and try something that's haram that they shouldn't, you will get health conditions and health issues. It does happen, right? Temporary backache and shoulder ache. So it comes and it goes, and it comes and it goes. It's not a problem. It's not an injury that you had, right? If it is, then that's the injury that you had. Like me, I injured my back once. So I, every now and then, constantly, I get the pain that comes back, and then it goes again, right? And it's in the same spot. It's the spot that was injured, right? So again, see a doctor first, right? Depression. You might notice depression. Severe depression, right? Severe depression. That people, subhanAllah, I remember, you know, sometimes people come to me and they say, you know, my brother, my sister, this is happening, you know, trying to maybe even commit suicide. Those are all signs that, you know, this person might be affected. But first go and see a doctor, right? Constricted breathing. So you're breathing and then all of a sudden, you want to breathe, but the air isn't coming and going. It's not going in and out, right? You want to breathe. Your body's telling you to breathe, but it's not coming and going, right? You can't control it. It's being controlled for you. Insomnia. Now again, you might need to go and get a mask from the doctor. See, that's why I'm saying it, because subhanAllah, many people will hear all of these and say, you know what, these are just general, subhanAllah, we're all affected by jinn or black. No, we're not. Okay? But if you've gone and sought attention and nothing is happening, then maybe there is a problem. So insomnia, agitation, extremities of unnatural anger or fear. So subhanAllah, you might notice that all of a sudden you get extremely scared for no reason. You'll be sitting right here in the halaqah, and out of nowhere, you just like, brah, you get really like scared. Or you're like, oh, something's going to happen to you. Or you get really angry, you just start yelling and screaming. And I'm like, okay, why are you yelling and screaming at me? And then they just calm down, and they look at you as though they don't even recognize that they just did that. They have no idea that they just, you know, had this jolt of energy, anger, or anxiety, or maybe even fear, and it's gone. And you're like, what's wrong? Is everything okay? You're like, yeah, why? What's wrong? What's wrong? And you're like, well, yo, buddy, you just freaked out in the middle of the masjid, everyone's staring at you. And he's like, no, I didn't. What are you talking about? Right? So they might not even know that this happens to them. And that's why it's important for friends and family to help each other. Abundant burping or sighing, right? Again, if you ate suhoor and iftar, then that's normal, right? If you ate a lot of food, you're going to sigh. Laziness and lethargy, right? So subhanAllah, you'll notice that all of these things, if we were to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and maintain our health and look after our health, right? We wouldn't even have any of these. Then when we notice that we're healthy and we look after our health and something happens, we go see a doctor. Doctor says, there's nothing wrong with you, you have no heart condition, blood tests, everything looks fine. Okay, now I'm going to go and seek some assistance for that, right? If we were to look after our health, but subhanAllah, we don't do that. We spend too much time destroying our health. Sleepiness and any other health problems that you may notice that subhanAllah is somewhat attached to, a medical attention is, you know, needed, go and seek that medical assistance first, inshaAllah ta'ala. Let's go through some of the verses, and then we'll take the last few verses of the Qur'an. Now, before we actually take the verses of Ruqya itself should be performed by the person upon them own their own self first. So if someone is affected, someone has a problem, they know that, you know, there's something wrong with them, or they just want to perform ruqya upon themselves just to be on the safe side, you know, subhanAllah, they know very well that they have a problem with the jinn, then it should be done to your own self first. And that was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you recite these verses upon yourself. Put your hand on the part of the body that's affected, that you feel there's a problem, right? Put your right hand there and recite the verses. Recite Surah Al-Fatiha, as we'll go through. Recite it upon yourself. It's only in the case when a person is doing this constantly and they can't, or they're not finding the cure, as in, don't think the cure is going to come in a week. Don't think it's going to come in a month. Sometimes it takes a year. Sometimes it takes a few months, depending on the severity of what's been done to you. Right? Sometimes it might be simply finding something that was hidden inside your house, like in the vents of your house, which is a common place that some, you know, friends or family members that want to do evil towards you will go to your house into the bathroom and drop something in the vent of your house. Now I know everyone's going to go home and look in their vents, right? I know when I moved into this house, there actually is stuffed in the vents, but it's not magic, and I didn't take it out on purpose, because my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was done, not because it's magic hiding in the vents, but because it's too cold in the lower floors of the house. And so they plugged the vents with like an old shirt or piece of cloth to plug the vent so that the air can travel to the higher part of the house, so the house can be cool on the upper floors. So use the wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we need here. So the person who can't do the ruqya upon themselves, their friends and family that notice they're having a difficult time can go and seek assistance from someone else to come and help them to do ruqya. or they themselves can go and perform ruqya upon this person. Right? So the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is to constantly try to relieve yourself from this hold of either black magic or, you know, evil eye or whatever it is, yourself. Try and remove it from your own self first. Okay? Okay? So try to have this done to yourself first, inshaAllah ta'ala, and then if you need more assistance, then try and seek assistance from someone that can help you, inshaAllah ta'ala. It's best to seek assistance from someone who's close to you, someone who can help you. And someone who can, inshaAllah, who you know is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will help to connect with that evil spirit or that possession inside of you, that will have a stronger hold over it than just the average person. So someone who's pious, someone who's near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a relative is very good. A relative is very good because the relative has concern for that person. For the person. Okay? So we'll go through some of the verses, inshaAllah ta'ala. Some of the verses of the Quran, obviously we begin with Ayatul Kursi. So Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. That's one of the verses. Also amana ar-rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun kullun amana billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi, which is at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. So these are powerful verses of the Quran. You'll notice that the verses of the Quran that are used for ruqya are verses of the Quran that affirm the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but affirm them sternly and very powerfully, right? آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. You're telling that thing that is possessing the body, the jinn, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ. The prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the messengers, they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what He revealed, what He brought down to the earth. You're telling them strictly and specifically, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. That's what the scholars do. Give da'wah to that jinn. Give da'wah to the jinn. That's what they do. Right? Give da'wah to the jinn. Once you give da'wah to the jinn, you tell it, listen, you're invading the body of a Muslim. Remove yourself from the body of this Muslim. Remove yourself from the house of the Muslim. Right? And that's why it's important for us to learn our dua as well. When you enter the house, say, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Everything that's evil will leave. The angels will come into your house. Right? We just go into our house and we're like, honey, I'm home. Right? Say, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi walajna wa bismillahi kharajna wa ala rabbina tawakkalna. It's a dua, right? With the name of Allah, Bismillah. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, walajna, we return to this house. Wa bismillahi kharajna, and with the help and name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we left this house. Wa ala rabbina tawakkalna, and in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we trust that He will forgive us, He will protect us, He will save us, right? It's important for us to do this. When we leave our homes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what did he say to do? Man nazala manzilan faqal, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّاتِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ. Seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that statement. أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّاتِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَمْ يَضُرُّهُ شَيْئًا حَتَّى يَرْتَحِلَ مِنْ مَنْزِلِهِ ذَلِكَ. Nothing will harm that person for the time that they left their house until they return to their house. They'll be safe and protected. Right? So make the dua. When we leave our homes, when we go to sleep, we perform wudu, we lay down on our right side, we recite Ayatul Kursi, as we mentioned, we recite Qul Hu Allahu Ahad, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Nas, as we'll get into inshaAllah ta'ala. There's a few other verses inshaAllah, you can very easily find all of these verses online. In fact, if you go to YouTube, right, and you just type in like any of your famous, you know, Quran reciters like Mashari Rashid, and just type in Ruqya, R-U-Q-Y-A, right? The simplest way of writing it. Just type it in. You will get audios of those scholars reciting all the verses that could be used for ruqya. Play them inside of your house sometimes. Just let it play inside of your house. Listen to the verses. Understand the verses of the Quran. And there are websites, inshallah, I can give you the links, inshallah, where you can find all the details, how to perform ruqya, what to do. We obviously can't do it. It takes literally like a whole weekend we could spend from morning till night teaching about ruqya. Some of the other du'a that the Prophet ﷺ encourages us to recite are, and you know what, subhanAllah, many of us, and I forgot to mention this at the beginning, many of us fail to protect ourselves first. So preventive medicine is always better than seeking a cure, right, from a reaction, so the reactive. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to protect ourselves first. And so recite the du'as that we mentioned earlier. Also, if you notice someone is sick or someone is going through a difficult time, from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, recite 7 times. As'alullahu al-azim, rabbil arshil azim, an yashfiyak. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rabbil arshil azim, Lord of the Supreme, the throne of the Supreme. As'alullahu al-azim, rabbil arshil azim, an yashfiyak. To cure you, to grant you the cure. Recite this 7 times to the person who's sick, your child who's sick. Even if they're sick with a cold, recite it to them. Go to your child, put your hand on them, your right hand, place it on them if you can. If you can't use your right hand, use your left hand. I know some people, you know, there might be some issue. Recite. It's better to use your right hand, obviously. Recite Surah Al-Fatiha, right? Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha is a cure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As'alallahu al-azim, Rabbil arshi al-azim, and yashfiyak. Very easy. And in fact, if you want to get all of these du'as, do you know that little book called The Fortress of a Muslim? Yep. Right? In Arabic we call it Hisnul Muslim. Right? Hisnul Muslim. Get the application on your phone if you don't have the book. Right? There's even applications that tell us the time for salah that will give us all of these du'as. They're all in there, inshaAllah ta'ala. Very easy for us to learn. Then we'll move on, inshaAllah ta'ala, for the last 10 minutes and cover قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Now we took قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ during our tafsir. We also spoke about قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, but قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is showing us in these verses, in these surahs, how it's important for us to affirm our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're saying, and he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell the people, say, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, that I seek refuge in the Lord of the Dawn. Now you'll notice that subhanAllah, people who do magic will use different things. They'll use the sun, the moon, the stars, clothing. They'll take people's clothing. And if you ever go to any, you know, Shaykh or Mawlana or Hazrat Ji or anyone of that sort, right? Pir Sahib, Janab, who takes your clothing, dips it in water, recites some strange things on it, says to go bury it in a cemetery, or ties it in a knot, tells you to go bury it and something of that sort, you are assisting them by assisting you. So you're helping them to do black magic on you to try and relieve yourself or the other person of the black magic that's done. So let me say that again. They're using black magic in order to remove black magic. So they're using magic to remove magic, which is haram, because they're using the evil spirits and the jinn in order to remove the work of the evil spirits and the jinn from you, which is not permissible. The only method that is permissible is to use the Quran and the methods that were used by the Prophet ﷺ. So for example, a method that was used by the Prophet ﷺ with the Sahaba was that if someone had given another person evil eye and you know who the person is, you are to go to the person. If they come and they tell you, they admit that they've done this to you, you go to them, you tell them, make ghusl, take a bath, and you from that bath, right, you take some of that water. Let me just confirm, I don't want to. You take some of that water and you cleanse yourself with that water as well, okay? Yeah, so you take that water and you cleanse yourself with some of that water as well. Okay? So that is a method that is according to the sunnah. That's okay. But anyone who's taking clothing, bring a shirt from someone, let me take this, and I know because I've witnessed it with my own eyes. I've seen it done with my own eyes to my best friend's family. Right? By a Mawlana in Scarborough. Right here in the GTA, there are so many people that do this. And they use black magic, which is completely haram, to try and remove this from the Muslimin. What kind of sense do we have in our heads to do this? This is not permissible whatsoever. We are committing shirk with Allah to try and remove magic. We are doing more harm to ourselves than good. Okay? So the verses of the Quran that we've gone through, inshaAllah, from that we'll take قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. You'll notice that, subhanAllah, the people that use magic and do magic, they will try and use items of the earth, right? Things from the earth like dirt and soil as well. As long as it's not according to the sunnah, now we can't cover everything, then it is not permissible. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ. So you seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the dawn, right? The one who created all of the evil. Look at that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to seek refuge in Allah. He is the one who created the evil. Why does He say this? Because it is Him that has the power to remove the evil from us. Yes, people can use evil to remove evil. Yes, because they will work with the evil spirits to... In fact, you know, many of our scholars say they won't even remove the evil. They will only place upon you more evil to cover up the evil that's been done. They will ughmi alay, they will cover your eyes, they will cover that evilness that's done to you with something else, a spell that will sort of, you know, neutralize that spell that's upon you. Right? So use the Quran, it will remove that from you. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا أعبد ما sorry, I keep going to that surah. وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَدْ وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدْ وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. So you're seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all the evils that people do. You can read the surah inshaAllah ta'ala. From all the evils that people do. You're also seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the people that have hasad, jealousy, envy inside of them for you. They see you, they see something on you that they love, that they enjoy, and that's why it's important for us every single time we do something to say Bismillah. Every single time that we say that we do something, go somewhere, whatever it is, we start with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You safeguard yourself from that. And subhanAllah, you know, many of you know you attend my halaqas regularly, right? And I always have problems with my throat. You all know that, right? Always have problems with my throat. And many of the shuyukh in the past few months, when I would travel around the world, many of them, and quite a few of them in particular, they tell me, you know, Dawood, be careful. Your recitation of the Quran, people like it. It could be envy, it could be black, it could be evil eye. Never ever forget your recitation before you recite in a conference or something. Seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always. And now I'm actually going, and just to show, I'm going to see a doctor to see, is this really a problem? And today, this morning, I went to a specialist to see. And subhanAllah, it has nothing to do with evil eye, has nothing to do with jinn or anything. It's acid reflux, and it's stress. Stress that is making the muscles in the neck and the body tense, restricting my vocal box from moving, putting more strain on the body. Look at that. Right? An example of how we need to seek medical assistance first, and then see if there's any need after that, okay? And then in the last surah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. If you don't know this surah and what it means, then we should be holding that translation on the phone in front of us and reading it, right? We recite this surah probably at least once every single day in our salah. The majority of the Muslims, I remember surveys were done. Which surahs do we recite of the Quran most frequently? Who can tell us? Eh? Surah Al-Ikhlas. Why? Because it's very short. And? Wal Asr. What about yourselves? What are the most common surahs that we recite of the Quran? Wal Duha. MashaAllah. Right? MashaAllah. The majority of the Muslimin will recite the four quls, because we know them as the four quls, as well as wal asr and inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, aside from Surah Al-Fatiha, right? And so that's because they're the most common surahs that are recited. And it's good if we recite the last two surahs regularly, because in it is shifa, in it is a help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And surah al-Fatiha, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, is shifa. There is a cure in surah al-Fatiha in the recitation of it. So قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ. I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Lord of the people, the King of all kings, right? مَلِكِ النَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the supreme above all. إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. From the evils of the people, the whispers of the people, right? الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. That that is whispered in the hearts or the chests of the people. Right? And also knots, tying of knots, as we see in these two surahs, those that tie the knots and do like voodoo and black magic and, you know, blow on the knots and try and control people. You know, those voodoo dolls, that's actually real. That is black magic. It's real. It exists. And in Islam, we believe that this is something that is true and people do it. Is it permissible? No, it's not permissible, but people do it. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to safeguard us from this. I've traveled to parts of the world where you can actually buy voodoo dolls and you can play around and do spells with people. I've seen it. I've asked them, what is this? They're like, voodoo. Voodoo. Really? Yeah, voodoo. And they sell the pins that you can use to poke your friend, and your friend will feel a poke on his finger and stuff. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Right? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to safeguard us from all of these evils. I mean, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and to help all those that might be affected, who might be suffering and struggling with some sort of difficulty in their life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to be forgiven during this month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our efforts and our struggles and our hardships that we've gone through for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and increasing our iman and taqwa. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to maximize from this last night. Ameen ya rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Jazakum Allahu khayran.